We've been in this journey so sweetly of the in Christ that we find so prevalent throughout the epistles of Paul. And thanking God again how the Lord, he said, yea, the deep things of God by my spirit. And I thank the Lord how he opens this up. And as God gives us the willing heart, and he has to give us the willing heart, but we yield to that willing heart, know how he fills it, he floods it, and grateful to him how he does these things. But the last time we gathered together, we were there in the 8th chapter of Romans, and we rejoiced in nothing shall separate us from the love of God in Christ. The love of God in Christ. See, I pray that we really, really receive that. Because by the grace of God, when we accepted Jesus as Savior, we entered into in Christ. Isn't that beautiful? We took that place, that provision that has been made. And in that, see, God can never be separated that because God loves his Son. Isn't that beautiful? God put us in the only place there ever could be that we could never be separated from him, in his Son. You know that song, Hidden Away? Oh, we're hidden away. And where? In him. Isn't that gorgeous? And I just, the plan of God is so beautiful in his love. And how safe we are, secure, and never to be separated because he put us in his Son. Hallelujah. Now, we know that that transformation happened by the blood. Amen. From death to life everlasting, the life of Christ in us and us in Christ. And I praise God with you tonight because we are now the sons of God. And God will forever love the life of his Son in us, never to be separated from it. For praise be to God, it's also the seed that remaineth. Hallelujah. So, as we go on tonight, it's in that love, and it's the power and the purpose of that love that we arrive at this next in Christ that we find in Romans. So open up your Bibles, if you would, to chapter 12, and we'll read from verse 5. That's Romans chapter 12, verse 5. It says here, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Now, as the Lord was taking me through this, all I could say was, oh my. How full and how rich this is. And how alive in the fullness of the power from the head through the body, all by the anointing of the Holy Ghost, with that love shed abroad, that we can come into such love for one another. Oh, yes. Care for one another. And I'm talking about the care, praise God, of even a spouse. Hallelujah. Now, we know that nothing separates us from the love of God. And in Christ we are one. And as we read here, and we are one. Isn't this gorgeous how it says here? Everyone members one of another. Now that also can be translated, see, as we belong to him, we belong one to another. Oh, hallelujah, we do. Let me tell you, you got a body, don't you? What member in your body ain't belonging one to another? It's all part of a whole. One. And by the grace of God, God's even shown us in this body what harmony. Incredible. The scientists have looked into this body, and I love to speak with my brother Jim, one of the finest heart surgeons. And I thank God. I'm thankful to be proud of my brothers and my sisters. But I got a brother who's a doctor, and the one thing he'll tell you is there's more, far more, we don't know about the body than we know. And if there's anybody operating on your heart, it would be him. Well, next to Jesus, because Jesus do the best operation on your heart. He'd give you a new one. But But know this. And so we understand as we get into this, and maybe we can really receive, that by loving one another, we so fulfill the law. And it's true. And this is a love, brothers and sisters, that only is the love of God. Now, this is something, as it tells us here, that we're members one of another. And there's something very telling about this, about our state in Christ. It's all about the abounding of love. It truly is. Your state, and what I'm saying about is that your contentment, your purpose, your abounding in the Lord truly is about love. You can know all truth, and without love, I'll tell you what, you'll dry up. You will. Now, I understand, too, you can get all spirity and everything like that, and without truth, and you'll blow up. But I'm talking about true love, and we're going to get to true love here in a minute. But this is what God's love is. It's love, it's grace, and it's mercy. And by the grace of God, truly, are these things in fullness, and are they growing in us for the body of Christ? Are we loving, and am I growing in grace and more love with you and for you? And that is the truth, brothers and sisters. I think God, in the awareness of where he's growing us up to, one of the greatest awarenesses we have is the value of one another and how much he loves you. And in that love that he puts in your heart, how much Christ in me is in love with Christ in you. And that's the truth. I mean, it's an amazing thing. I believe that, and it's not to compare things, but I love the love of God that's working in the saints in this day. Amen. And I'm telling you, I've never experienced it. You could say, well, Jesse, you never entered into it. Well, maybe so. But I'll tell you what, I've learned this love. I've grown in wisdom of it. And not just by reading, but by receiving that love. Amen? And receiving that truth in love. And I don't mean the superficial stuff. I'm talking about you love me in the truth. And I love you in the truth. And truly, there isn't any other love I want to love you in. And I don't want you to love me in any other love but in the truth. Because that's forever. That's the everlasting. That's what pleases the Lord. And so, he makes it very plain to us, as I mentioned earlier, with this, the example of our natural bodies. I pray you take care of all the parts. You should. You know, I don't just brush one tooth. I brush them all. I give them all care. I want to get all my hairs brushed. I get lotion out. I want to go head to toe. I don't want dry spots around there, you know. And you need to understand this. And when we're at odds with the body, and I want you to think about this. And I'm saying when we're speaking against ones in the glorious rib portion, Paul's gospel's rib portion that draws us out to be that bride for the Lamb of God. When we're beginning to speak against one another, there's a love that is lacking. And we're not in our right minds. I wouldn't be in my right mind to be against my own body. You know, there's people that aren't in their right mind, and they hurt their own bodies. And you understand that. It can get to the ultimate of hurting your body as well, too, destroying it in many different ways. I want to care for my own body, but more importantly, by the grace of God, to have the awareness of Christ in me, I want to care for you. Amen. And not just as a pastor, but as your brother in the Lord, as a yoke fellow, as for the purpose of God that we're going to get into in a minute, I don't know if I necessarily realized in some of these scriptures going forth what God wants us to be and growing in to one another and with one another. And but see, when we're lacking that love, it's a lacking of the love of the truth. It would be lacking the love of the oneness in Christ. And in that, I would be conflicted and I wouldn't be yielding to what the Lord truly wants my fellowship to be with my brother and sister in Christ. Go on over to Ephesians chapter 4. And let's begin reading from verse 4. It's Ephesians 4, verse 4. There is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. One. Isn't that beautiful? Just one. And it's Him. We're in one body. We have one spirit. Even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. Isn't that beautiful? I've got the same calling as you. And you've got the same calling as me in Christ. And we know what Paul's hope of that calling is. Very clearly, it's the hope of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It's called the vocation in Colossians. That vocation wherewith we are called. That's our calling. Isn't that gorgeous? I don't have to worry about what am I supposed to do, or who am I supposed to be, or be about. Praise God, I know, you know, there's one. There's one. And I thank the Lord that we have one mind for it. Isn't that beautiful? One mind, there's one praise, there's truly, it's all, again, Him. And I thank the Lord, in that oneness, there are no divisions. There shouldn't be. There shouldn't be any schisms because there are not any schisms in that body. There's no divisions in that if we really are settling in it. Now, why is this? Jump to verse 12 and 13. Why is this oneness? Why did He do this? Why? For the perfecting of the saints. Oh, I love that. The equipping. See, there's an equipping that happens. There's a there's an encouragement and then a supplying that only could be through this oneness that we are in Christ. Members one of another. We belong to one another because we belong to Him. Know that. The value. The purpose. Hallelujah. For the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Praise the Lord. So we see the purpose in this members one of another. He our head, and we are these precious vessels. And the supplying that goes forth between these joints of the body. The goal here is for the perfecting and the maturing of the bridal body. Amen. 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 And the bride is fully aware and she's alert to this in love, to the need and completion of the body for Him. It's like the virtuous woman. She tends to the way of her household. Praise God. Do we come in and enter in like that? I do believe we do. You might not be cognizant of it, but that's what truth and love does. That's what Paul's gospel does. This is how we occupy. And I thank God as He gives me the awareness that, you know, sometimes He'll take you to places in His word that you haven't even realized you're already at. And then He shows you in the word what He's done. And then you say, oh my goodness, that's what I've been experiencing. That's that love that's been coming from my heart. That's the change that I've seen in my life. It's Him, and He tells me how He did it. He tells me why He did it. It could be like, I never liked to be around these people. I never liked them. Why do I love to come to church? Why do I get excited now about a Bible study? Oh, I could hear it at home. I could just flick on the word, and that's great. Don't get me wrong. I'm thankful. But there's something. There's something about the anointing of being with the vessels, especially members one of another of this body that Paul's talking about. See, Paul brings out the message of the glorious church without spot or wrinkle. Oh, yes, he does. That's that rib portion body. That's that bridal body. That's that precious wife, that Eve that came out of Adam that became the wife for him. Now, this, praise God, is a beautiful thing. This is the mark of those bridal saints in their care and their love for one another. Their love and their desire for one another to be ready, to be full, to be supplied. And we honor and cherish one another, desiring by the grace of God to promote that growth in one another. Isn't that the greatest thing? That's what I was even saying earlier about some of these ones that have grown up. You know, they're now in their 20s and 30s. And the fullness of the word of God that's come forth in their lives. The things and the encouragement, praise God, that we are to one another. I pray we understand the magnitude of this supplying. That when we yield and give ourselves over to God, what that does for the body of Christ. Coming up to worship and to pray. Ones that might have had difficulty in different things in their life. And now, you know what? They come. They worship. They're hearing. Praise the Lord. And then those, praise God, that have just stood. You need to see all of those things. Because you know what? That symphony ain't complete without all of those instruments. It is. It's beautiful. And the maestro's got us. Hallelujah. And all he wants us to do is just show up. He'll play right through you. You just sit there and he'll play through that vessel like you can't even imagine. But it is. It's a gorgeous thing. And it is. It's breathtaking. So we see that he's made us one in him. We see why, because he wants us to fully grow up and mature. But how does this happen? Well, right here in this same fourth chapter, he tells us. Go on over to verse 15 here. So how does this happen? We speak truth in love. It's by speaking truth in love that we grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Isn't that wonderful? It begins in love because the purpose is in love. Praise you, Jesus. Just let it just soak in, because it's going to be until you see Jesus, this needs to work. Amen. So, first of all, how does it happen? Well, actually, we could even go back to verse 14. You know the first way it happens is to quit being a child and listen to other winds of doctrine. Stay in Paul's gospel. You really want to be an encouragement to the bride of Christ and to be in that body of the bridal saints? Well, I'm going to tell you, there's only one way, one gospel. There's no other gospel. It's Paul's message, and that is the truth. And I thank God that it's very clear, it's very stated, that that's the very first thing. And in staying in Paul's gospel, you know what you speak? You speak truth in love. That's exactly what you'll speak. You won't speak anything else but truth in love, because that's all that gospel can come through in our lives. It's our manner of life. It's everything. It's not just love, but it's truth in love. There is a big difference. And I love that. My wife reminded me of that the other day again. It's not just that couples love one another. It's that they're in love. Christ Jesus is in love with you, and he is. That's why he wants a wife. That's why he wants that. He's drawing us in that. And as we'll listen to that and avail our ear to hear him, we'll fall in love. You can't help but fall in love with him if you'll hear him. You will. Amen. And you're thankful for that, aren't you? But see, when we begin to speak that truth in love, what happens is we grow. And we grow in grace and we grow in knowledge of him. And I supply my brothers and sisters and they supply me. It's a marvelous thing. It's an effectual working in every part and every measure in every part. See, in this bridal body, we are these precious joints. And it's imperative for each and every one of us to grow up into him in all things. Isn't that beautiful? See, I pray you want me to take my place in the body of Christ. And I pray for you always. I want you to take your place in that precious body. And I'm talking about the bridal body. And to enjoy that and rejoice. And trust him. See, we have one hope of his calling. We have one calling. And it's his calling. And this calling is to win him. It is. Amen? And I thank God that in winning him, he tells us that we're his workmanship. Praise God. And he does. We're his workmanship. We know that he does the work. I thank the Lord that all I want to do, Lord, is I want to lay my hand, really, if you will, laying it on the horns of the altar, you know, that precious strength that he is. But that's like laying your hand to the plow. And Lord, put that plow in the field that you want. I don't want to be minding and tending, as we read on Sunday. I don't want to be caught up in those earthly things. I want to be focused on the heavenly. I want to be focused on faith. And I thank God that that is the life that I live, is by faith. Why not enter into that life? I want him to choose. I want God's choice. By the grace of God, as worries come and things that are very dear to my heart, which is pretty much everything, but those really dear things. And you understand that. You all have families. Some of you have children, ones that you care for in very deep ways. Things come. Lord, they're yours. I trust you with them. My life is by the faith of the Son of God. I give that to you. I lay it on the altar. I want to walk in that realm and be aware of that realm of faith, not trying to direct it, not trying to mold it after Jesse's thoughts and Jesse's intentions and Jesse's way it should be. By the grace of God, Lord, I want your way. And it's a way, I'm telling you, I can't see in my natural eyes. I can't walk out there because you know what? I've never been there. He's got to take me there day by day. And oh, how I thank him for it. And see, that's how I encourage you. And that's how you encourage me. But see, he's the faithful one that brings those things in our life. Those fiery trials. That but for Paul's gospel, let's be honest. But for Paul's gospel, you'd say they're strange. But in Paul's gospel, you'll never meet strange. You'll never meet strange. You won't. You can't. Because you know all things work together for good to them that love God. Nothing strange, because I'll perfect that which concerns you. And I know over all, he said, I'll perform the good work which I've begun in you. Praise you, Jesus. This is how we encourage one another. This is how we comfort one another. Praise God. Because we're joints in this precious body. We belong to one another. We might not know about our personal life, but you know what? That's temporal. I know God's got that taken care of. I want to be about the eternity with you. I want to look at you and look into the eyes of God himself. And I mean that. Christ in you. Christ in you. The hope. The hope. See, only his eyes can be that. Only he can give you that. You're not looking in the mirror at yourself. You're looking at the mirror of Christ. and Christ in you, the hope of glory. The transformation of the sons of God from glory to glory into his very image. Oh, thank you, Jesus. So, we, by his grace, isn't this marvelous? We can be conduits from the head to bring spiritual encouragement and growth and supplying of all these things that are so necessary for the edifying of the body of itself in love. See, that's truly what a vessel is, because the definition of vessel is adding to the usefulness of the husband. Praise the Lord. See, that virtuous woman did just that, didn't she? She did just that. Proverbs 31, go back and read about her. Rejoice. Be thankful. The heart of her husband trusts in her. Thank you, Lord. Do you see what the Lord wants you to be with him and for him? And I know you say, who, me? Yeah, you. Yes, you. And I'm so thankful I've grown. I've made ignorant statements in my life. He needs us in a beautiful way to praise him, and to love him, and to rule and reign with him, and be glorified together with him. He's not complete without her. He will not take the throne without her. You think he's interested in that body? And it's his body. Amen. See? He's the supplier of it all. See, true bridal ones, as it says here, going back to, what is that, verse 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted. There's so many ways you could go off into those things, but I will just touch on a few. The bridal ones are fitly joined together. That word fitly, it means married. I love that. It means married. They're married. Hallelujah. Are we not supposed to dwell together? To settle down in marriage? Oh, amen. And it's not just a truth. It's interacting. Praise God, we are members one of another. Now, how sweet this is you find that word only one other time. And if you go over to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 21, it says, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. I mean, the very heart of New Jerusalem. Come on, let's expand, praise God, this precious vision in us of all of the wonder of what he's speaking of here. So we see, as he tells us this again, remember the stones that they even made, that they were going to build the temple with? They cut them perfectly before they ever set them. They were exact. Exact. They didn't cut them when they were in the temple. They were done and finished and exactly ready to be set in. That's exactly what he's doing with us. This building that he is making, praise be to God, and we rejoice in it because we know, praise the Lord, that this is, by the word of his grace, he builds us up. He builds you up in this oneness in Christ, these members one of another, the masterpiece, the bride, hallelujah. He's doing that, and he's setting us in place. Yes, he is. And this is what these precious stones, praise God, here today. They're ready to be set in place. Brothers and sisters, have you ever thought of this? Spouses truly, they're partners. Spouses are partners. They're a team. You get in the harness and you pull together. I remember Mom and Dad saying that often to people. And it's true. Homes that are divided against itself, they'll fall. It's because they're pulling away. You get in that harness and you pull together, I'll tell you what. It's not just double the strength, it's infinite. And it's a team. And it's the word of God says, we're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. That's us. He's put us in that. praise the Lord. Are you beginning to get a little bit more enlightenment why you love one another? You almost don't get it. I love hearing my son Evan sometimes saying it recently. I think he said it to Brother Dwayne. He says, it's so strange. You know, because when you're 23, you're cool. I love those people. He's not here. I'll talk about him a little bit. But it's true. You know what I'm saying? That's the transformation of the sons of God. They love. Think about those that loved. I mean, first and foremost, our precious Savior. But the Savior's love. Think about how Jonathan and David loved one another. They were just set apart in that love. Amen? They just were. Surpassing any love that was known here. But see, by the grace of God, God was given that to us in type and shadow of the love that was even going to be love shed abroad or abundantly like a geyser for us to share with one another in the Holy Ghost. So this is that. And see, that's the pleasure and ecstasy of God in Christ. God in Christ revealed through Paul. It'll have us settling down in marriage with one another. The word of God, and we'll go into this, God willing, next week. Yoke fellows, cherubim brethren. This is what happens. I was thinking about how beautiful it is. We speak about it often. We understand that, praise God, as it says, a holy temple. You think about that holy, set-apart place. Where was that set-apart place in the tabernacle? It was the Holy of Holies. What was set in there? It was the ark. It was the mercy seat. It was the cherubim coming out of that mercy seat. And their wings were over the mercy seat and they touched. And you think about that beautiful cherubim, the bridal company. They're of him. They're made of him. They're golden. They grow out of him. Amen. And they grow out. And truly, it's like a circle, a ring. It's a crown. Because it crowns the very ark itself. And those wings, the anointing, they touch. And they never part. And it's continual. That's the oneness. That's what this is bringing us to. So, we are compacted as well. You see, we're joined and now we're compacted. Knit together in love. Specifically, that means we are instructed in love. Is that not what Paul's gospel does? Amen, it does. It instructs you in love. It doesn't instruct you in duty. It doesn't instruct you in works. Paul's gospel instructs you in grace, in mercy, in love. And in love to heights beyond to the love of a bridegroom. That's what that love instructs us to. And that's why, praise God, we're compacted in it. Aren't we learning by God's grace love with one another? Think about the instruction and the education we're receiving. And we're learning to love through by the grace of God. Amen? I'll give you a little window, and I've talked about it a little bit, but even for Sunday. See, we love one another. We care for one another by God's grace. I don't want to hurt you. I don't. I know I'm just a man. I get that. But I'll tell you what, the love of God's powerful. And you know how powerful the love of God is? It can cause me to allow him to make changes in me that change my ways. That change even my speech. Not because I'm trying to do something, but the love of God is doing it. He's willing and doing of his good pleasure in my life. Causing us to be people that we never even imagined. But we're the sons of God. And we're growing in love. And when you're in love, you know what? You do dishes and you vacuum the house. And then you'll find yourself doing it and you're not even, you didn't even remember starting it. Things you never liked become lovely. Isn't it awesome? And it's all because of him. It's because you see him. See, this is the becomes the appearing of the Lord. And you love his appearing. And if you think you're ever going to be ready any other way, you're wrong. You are wrong. I'll tell you that right now. You will not be ready. When you forsake the assembling of yourselves together and you don't have that love, you've missed it. I remember Brother Hill talking about these things. And I thank God I get it. And I want to get it more. And love doesn't go by feeling. It doesn't. It just loves. Amen. So, we're instructed in that love. And that's what speaking truth in love does. It instructs. It's what lovers know. It's what lovers share. And that's why, even in the Song of Solomon, the Shulamite, she was ready for marriage. She entered into love dialogue with the bridegroom, didn't she? She spoke of lovely things. Think of that. Now, she had a little sister, but she couldn't comprehend that love. She couldn't talk in that regard. And brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you something. I know we love our brethren. And I'm talking about brethren that haven't grown up in the things of Christ because they might not be filled with the Holy Ghost. They might not have heard or truly yield to Paul's gospel. They don't understand this love language. They don't. They don't have this instruction in love because only Paul's gospel can give you that. It'll always be a mystery to you. It'll be something like, what in the world is that guy talking about? But when you know Paul's gospel, you latch right on. You understand because he's doing that in you. And yes, he is. And we share this, praise God. And that's what the bride has grown up into the knowledge of. She falls in love and grows more and more in love. I was thinking about Esther. Esther was taught and nurtured and groomed to do what? To give pleasure to the king. Remember what she was instructed? Don't you take anything else but what the keeper of the women tells you to do. Don't you let anybody else get in your ear and tell you how to be ready for King Ahasuerus. Isn't that what the Apostle Paul has told us? By the Holy Ghost. Don't let anybody else tell you anything else. You just listen to him. And I'll tell you what, it was way exceeding abundantly above all she could ask or think. She said, well, I'm confident. Man, I've received it all, but this is a big step. And she stepped right out there because it was time. And he gave her far more than she ever imagined. Now I think of how he deals with us, though. We do know, yea, the deep things of God by the Spirit. We do know the desire and the heart, praise God, and the love of Christ. We know that. Now, the things he's prepared for me, okay. But I know I got the best part. You know what I got? I got him. Amen. I got him. Amen. I know it. I got him because I got grace. Grace that's grown up. Mercy, praise God, that has matured. And love by the grace of God that I know it's for everybody. It's not just for Jesse. It's yours. Amen. It's yours. It's mine. It's ours. And we're members one of another to tell each other and to encourage one another. Lift up hands. Sometimes one of us gets a little weary. Oh, come on. Here's a cold cup of water. Take a sip. Let's go. Come on. Oh, we got to be about this. Wasn't that Jesus in his heart as he spoke to his disciples? Oh, honeys, come on. Can't you tarry just a little while longer? Oh, I got to be about my Father's business. He wasn't telling them to make them feel bad. He was encouraging my heart. Say, oh, come on, honey. We're the sons of God. What a brother we have in Christ. Now, let's just finish this up real quick. God forbid we choose not to be compacted. When we choose not to be compacted and tightly fit, brothers and sisters, when we deny that, we become estranged or apart. There is a leaving or a departing from the first love. There's a warning to us, very clear, as we talk about often here, is the church of Ephesus. All those things. I don't want to be known as one that had run well. I don't want that. I don't want to be a has-been. I want to be now. I want to finish with a full joy. But we know that the church of Ephesus, when it says they left their first love, that word left means divorce. Brothers and sisters, his purpose is to have a bride. And she is his body, but she's her own body. And for us to enter into it, we must embrace what he's chosen. And you know what he's chosen? Grace. Have you chosen grace too? Do you love grace? I pray this place is oozing with grace. Praise God, and a love for grace. Think of this. Why is the name of the church that is spared from the tribulation Philadelphia? Why is the name of the church that is said, I will make known unto all that I have loved thee? Why is her name Philadelphia? Because it's brotherly love. It's brotherly love. The bride is not about her works or her efforts. It's all about his love in her. It really is, isn't it? And see, I know that if that love will be shed abroad in my heart, praise God, by the Holy Ghost, I'll have faith that'll encourage you. I'll have mercy, praise God, that'll anoint you. I'll have grace, praise God, that will inspire. You know what I'm saying? That's what love is. Jesus inspired hearts that were tender. He didn't condemn them. He didn't turn them away. They weren't around him and felt, well, I'm really discouraged or I can't live up to that. No. The love of Christ gives hope. It gives abounding hope. It's so much more than even victory. We're more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. And once again, why? Because he loved us. And he put us in himself. The only place that we could have that love and that capacity of love to love one another. That's how beautiful you have been set in him. And perfectly in him. And by the grace of God, rest. Cease from your own works and enter into the rest of God. I've seen a lot of striving in my day, and I'm talking in this place. I've seen a lot of comparing amongst themselves. Yes, in this place. We're at the finish line. We're right there. And I believe you know it. You know this. And praise God with this symphony that's beginning to play. Enter in. Don't withdraw. By the grace, thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Praise God that the representation of part of that body is right here. And I thank God for it every day. Don't ever take it for granted. Be thrilled. Understand, knowing, praise God, Lord, once again, you've brought me out of that. You brought me into a sanctuary that gives me that vision. Praise his name. of what is just about around the next hill is going to be. And brothers and sisters, he brought us into him to know his love. He made us bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh to function and dwell and be alive, to be alive in his love for one another. That's why we're in him. We're not around him or looking at him. We're in him. I pray that inspires you a little bit more. How much, I tell you what, he loves us. I mean, he loves us. And he cares for us. He cares for us, his body. Amen. Let's stand, be dismissed. Praise God.